Welcome to the Latin Excellence Podcast. I'm Gabby.
And this is Carlos.
And we are Los Riveras. Our show features stories of top performers in the Latinx community and helps you discover practical insights that you can apply to your own personal journey.
Two years ago, I was thinking about a career shift and expanding my network within the tech space. I didn't want to just find like-minded people, but I wanted to find people who look like me and came from similar backgrounds. So I Googled Latinos in technology and Techidea popped up. Aside from an awesome name, I learned that Techidea is a nonprofit organization that serves the largest community of Latinx professionals in tech. In this episode, we chat with Andrea and Sashi, board directors, about how they grew from a small meetup to a nonprofit serving the largest community of Latinx in tech. Andrea and Sashi, welcome to the show.
All right, so thank you for joining us, everybody, for another episode of Latin Excellence. We're so excited today to have two members of the leadership team at a nonprofit organization called Techidea. We have Andrea and Sashi with us today. Thank you guys for joining. How are you?
Hi, thank you for having us.
You guys are all are doing important work within the community, and the reason why we have you on today is because you are leaders of the nonprofit organization, Techidea. So for those of our listeners who are not familiar with your organization, can you talk to us a little bit about what the purpose is and what the mission is? Maybe, Sashi, if we can start with you.
Techidea began almost 5 years ago with myself and my co-founder, David Silva. We sort of had very humble beginnings. We had known each other for about a year before we started, and we're both Latino engineers, and it had never really come up as a topic that we were like Latino engineers, except for one day when we realized we were the only other Latino engineers that we each knew in the Bay Area. We're like, huh, that's weird. And you know, we both were pretty active in the like meetup community, so we were out there, you know, getting to know people like all across tech. And it when it dawned on us that we didn't know any Latinos, we're like, okay, let's go change that. And that was sort of the beginning of Techidea. We started, you know, it started small and then started growing. And we started to hear a lot about what are the challenges that, you know, people who are coming to our community were facing. And we realized how big the scope of the problem was, how big the structural issues were. And over time, we just started doing more and more to offer like more ways for people to connect with each other and like learn from each other and things like that.
And Andrea, how did you start getting involved with the organization?
So I had been in tech for about 9 years. And at that point, I was always the only, right? Like the only woman, the only Latina. And my background is visual effects and animation. So again, like there are not still a lot of women in these industries. And I had reached a point in my career where I was really needing to find people who looked like me. And I started actively seeking out events and going to places where these people existed. And I was like, just Googling like Latinos in tech and trying to find these spaces because I knew that they had to exist like somewhere. And so I went to like the Code 2040 Summit in San Francisco. Like I was traveling for these spaces. And in 2016, I read about Techidea. I knew it was in the Bay Area. And one of our other board members, Esteban Uribe, he was working with Hector Cardona, and they were trying to launch Techidea in Los Angeles. And they were having like their first or second meetup at IndieDesk. And that was the first time I went, you know, or I was in a Techidea space. And it was so nice to just like finally see those faces that looked like my face. And yeah, I think there were like five or six people there. And that was it. And it felt like my community and a home, and it was so welcoming. And so since then, I worked with the LA chapter for a couple of years. I moved to Austin 2 years ago to start a PhD program, and I've been a chapter director here for 2 years. I'm heading back to LA, and yeah, I'm on the board with Shashi, and yeah, it's been such a strange, like, incredible growth over the past few years to just see this, what, like 400% growth or something last year. And it's wild to just have all of these people like know about this organization. It's so cool.
How many members do you all have now as a part of the group?
So Slack is where we're the largest, and I think it's something like 5,900 members. Maybe we just hit 6,000 recently. Mm-hmm. And the newsletter, Shashi can correct me if I'm wrong, has a reach of like 10,000.
Wow. And is that nationwide or is that also international?
It's actually international.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the core of our group is like US based, but you know, over time we are bringing in more people like international, and you know, a long-term hope of ours is to be a bridge between like US and Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it does take time to like build up that capacity.
Right.
So 5 years ago, it sounds like Tejería was born out of this need or desire for community, right? To see other people like you that are working or were working in the tech industry. And fast forward five years, you have 6,000 members. That's huge. How did you all grow that membership? Obviously, there were others who were looking for the same thing, just like Andrea was talking about, right?
So myself and David, we both had some like meetup organizing experience, David more than myself. So we had known certain things that like work well and what doesn't work well. So we applied a lot of those learnings to Tejería. And one of the biggest things was getting the culture right, you know, from the start. So that meant like making it an inclusive place. And it's funny to say that given that we are a group for Latinx in tech, but that alone is not enough because there are all sorts of intersectional identities within the community. And so it took a lot of work to be intentionally inclusive of all those identities. And I think our leadership team like really reflects that pretty well. Like we're very proud of our inclusion in our leadership team.
Yeah, that's interesting because being Tejería, I would imagine you have a room full of software engineers, project managers who are well-versed in the tech space. But from what it sounds like, it wasn't really necessarily the tech that helped you drive your user base. It was really more of a community word of mouth type of I guess, scaling. So maybe if you can kind of give us some more tactical steps, like what was important for you to make sure that you established that culture early on in that foundation that helped you really kind of grow organically?
We've been really intentional with all of our moves and even with growing chapters to be like, you don't have to host some crazy event. You don't have to partner with IBM. You don't have to partner with Adobe and have some event that's like 500 people and get sponsorship. You know, like have a comida, a meetup, sit down, have a happy hour, like see who comes. Just focus on getting like, get 5 people there, see who shows up, like build that community first and start small and like get the word out. Try to just focus on that and build those core relationships first. And we've also been really intentional, like just within the Slack, just within one another and our relationships. And something that really comes to mind is, so like we have a DC chapter now headed by one of the chapter directors. His name is Edward Barrios. And I think, you know, it wasn't growing. There weren't a lot of tech people, like Latino tech people out there in DC, but he wanted to do it. And I think Shashi met him on a trip out to the East Coast. David or Esteban had met him. I was talking to him on Slack. And so like this relationship grew over time, like over months. And then eventually somebody wanted to like start a chapter with him. And maybe like a few people showed up. that this took time. Like, we haven't forced any of these things to just explode. No. We've been really slow in a lot of things, which I think has helped us, which is the antithesis of tech, honestly. Like,
a big thing that happens is when somebody, like, we're a volunteer, mostly a volunteer, like, led group, and when we get a new volunteer coming on, you know, they, like Andrew was saying, they want to go big, right, from the start, and that's usually a recipe for disaster, and so we have to actually coach people saying, like, hey, like, take it easy, and I think what that has led us to do is, like, basically be, leadership mentors for, like, our leadership team, like, as we grow, and like, sort of, like, passing on, like, the best practices for, like, how you start a group has been really important. And so, to, like, really get to the heart of your question, which is, like, how do you do that to scale, the big part for us has been transitioning that culture. So, like, at the beginning, we were very, like, you know, everyone was, like, just doing the work, and we had to make this, like, transition as an organization around, like, how do we scale our team? How do we take the teachings and, like, standardize them and, like, make them repeatable? And that was a lot harder than it sounds.
You are a nonprofit, right? You're not really focused on bringing in revenue or bringing in the bottom line, I guess. But it is important that in order to continue to scale and continue to grow, at some point you're going to have some outside funding, right? Some financials to at least help you back and to continue to grow that mission. Mm-hmm. So maybe how, for those people who are looking at or thinking about growing a nonprofit organization, how do you make that transition? How do you look at and raise funds for your nonprofit so that you can continue to scale and grow your mission?
I think the hardest part for us has been, how do we grow and how do we bring in revenue that can support salaries while maintaining our values? Like, that has been, like, the single hardest thing in my book. And that was, like, a learning process, like, as we went. And so the biggest thing for us is that we serve our members first. And so we said, okay, like, what are we already doing? We did a lot of, like, corporate events, or events at tech companies. And so there are companies that had wanted to, like, sponsor us. So we said, okay, like, let's start doing that. Which worked out pretty well. And again, credit to Philip and Francis for doing a lot of that, like, that work, talking to those organizations. It wasn't smooth sailing entirely, right? Because sometimes a company, like, you know, tech company is basically, like, running the world now. And there's a lot of issues around how tech impacts the Latinx community. So companies are not always in alignment with the values of our community. So it's very hard to, you know, like, when you're getting sponsored by a company, right? Like, sometimes companies do this for not the right reasons. Sometimes they do it as, like, a way to make up for bad publicity, right? And they're not actually trying to, like, make a positive impact. And so we have to be very, very careful about, like, you know, how we work with companies. And as a national organization, there's a difference between, like, how a company is at the top level and how it is, like, you know, within each office space, right? Because you might have, like, office politics where, like, a culture in one location is different than another. And so we give a lot of autonomy to the different chapters around deciding, like, hey, do you want to work with this company or not? And we let the people on the ground decide, like, if it's something that's, like, works for them. So these are the sort of things that we have to, that we had to learn how to work with.
Mm-hmm. And that's something, I think, going back to, like, to growth, that we've really had to consider, because things that work in the Bay Area don't work in Austin or don't work in Chicago. Like, they're very different ecosystems in each city that we've had to learn to balance and sort of talk with all of our chapter directors, like, what do you think is going to work best here? Mm-hmm. And it's a different conversation every time, trying to figure that out.
Sure.
Right. And I'm curious about how, as a nonprofit and a community-based nonprofit, how do you measure your success, right? So you all are doing such great work in connecting people in the professional development space. How do you hold yourselves accountable?
One of the things that we've been really excited about is, you know, the fundraiser we just did, right? This came together very quickly, our COVID fundraiser, and we didn't know. Like, that was such a huge undertaking to do so quickly. And, you know, Francis had this idea to do a COVID fundraiser. None of us had ever, you know, we are learning. We are learning as we go along. It's all a lot of transitioning. Six of us all have very different skill sets, and it's great. And it's also difficult sometimes to be like, okay, I think this is how this is going to go, but let's try it and let's see what sticks. For me to see how our community showed up and donated and supported us, either just by like financially or spreading the information for the fundraiser, like that was so awesome to just have that happen, to realize that like we have these members who will represent us.
Yeah.
And who will, you know, say that we're doing good work and legitimize our efforts. That to me was a good metric. And it's hard to like qualify that. And I understand that like it's just anecdata, but it's a really good feeling.
Well, let's dig into that, because for those individuals who don't know about the fundraiser that Andrea is talking about, but you guys decided to put together a huge effort of raising money for immigrant families who are not going to be eligible for financial support during the stimulus package. So, and I think, because I remember when I told Gabby about it, I think the first amount was like, I don't remember if it was 15,000 or 30,000, but then like quickly after.
When we went to donate, it was like already past that. And I mean, the impact, I want to emphasize and like underscore this, because it's such, to your point, Andrea, like, yeah, we can talk about metrics and how many people get jobs, but like, this is the impact that I think we want to make and what the community feels. So yeah, tell us more about the process. What was the final number, by the way, and where did the funds go to?
So the final amount was a little over 51,000. So it's like 51,000 and a half. And we gave to 123 families.
It was very difficult, like hearing the stories.
Yeah.
You know, the people were sharing, but it did feel good that like our organization was able to do something to help. And in particular, doing something to help when the government was not.
Yeah, and I think that's important, especially about what you guys are doing. I remember my first time of going to a Tequeria event. I was like, hey, Gabby, you know, there's this group, it's called Tequeria, and they have like a comida. That's kind of cool, right? Like they, like we're just going to go show up to this Cuban restaurant here in LA. But that's stuff that like, you know, you don't have those resources available to you, but the fact that you're already kind of creating that culture and that atmosphere where people can go and connect, and then also give tribute back to the community, right? So I can bring my skills, I can learn from other people. So just having that network of people and individuals that I can always tap into is amazing and much needed in the community.
And the COVID fund and the fundraiser, I think, shows that your reach is even beyond the tech industry, right? Yes, you've created this great community for technologists, but obviously, because of the strength of that community, you're able to impact way beyond those, you know, those lines. So I think that's great. Congratulations. That's
a
really
huge.
Cool. Accomplishment.
I think what's really important to all of us is the fact that, like Shashi touched on earlier, we are a really diverse group, and you know that comes across in a lot of different ways. So you know, like I am Mexican American, but I'm 7th and 8th gen. So Esteban is Mexican American, but he, I believe, is 1st gen. So we have these different experiences, you know, so across the board, across our leadership council, I guess, there's multi-generations, there's a number of nationalities, there's, you know, like Afro-Latino, Asian-Latino, like, so we try to represent and we try to listen to what everybody is bringing to the table, because none of us have the same experiences, and to also be really conscientious that, you know, in a lot of places in the United States, there's this idea of like Mexican hegemony. And so to be very conscientious of like, we're not that, we're not all Mexicans. I mean, I'm Mexican, but we're not all Mexican. And, you know, to be very representative of that. And especially this COVID fund, I think, was really important to a lot of us, because we know how lucky we are. Mm. And we all have people who are farm workers in our families, or who are custodial workers in our families, or who, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and like doing that work, living that grind. And we don't forget that. We are showing up for those people. Like, we lucked out having these jobs in tech, and we know that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so important to give that back and to share knowledge, which is, you know, also our goal here, is because we have so many Latinx folks that are doing great things, that it's important that we mentor and we share this wisdom with everyone else to bring them up as well. What I'd love to do is ask you the magic question, right, about people that want to get into technology and maybe don't know how. Maybe they don't have a degree yet. Maybe they don't know much about the industry. But what are some things, from your perspective, some tactical pieces of advice that you can give for those people who are wondering, should I go to a 4-year college and get a degree in computer science? Should I go to a boot camp? What are some things that you found work well?
Well, my advice is come join Techadia.
Yes.
You can come and get advice from people who are in the industry. And because at the end of the day, nobody's path is going to be the same. Everyone's going to have a slightly different path. And maybe you came from different places and you have different like circumstances in your background. So in our community, we have people who basically like, you know, if somebody has a path that can resonate with yours. And so you can like get advice that's really works for you. Because I don't think advice, like one size fits all advice, like is really going to help, you know, people. So I would say that's one. Another is like follow your passion. When we hear from people who are in more senior positions, you know, they say when you follow your passion, it just seems like everything's so much easier.
Yeah, I think joining a group like this can open the door to, you know, more advice and more experiences like you were talking about. I want to ask one more thing. I know Carlos has a question, but I just thought about a conversation I had recently with someone. It was a hiring leader who was thinking about diversity and was thinking about how to create a diversity program in their organization. And we were talking about best practices and, you know, why it's good to do so. And they said to me, you know, Gabby, yes, I think diversity is important. I don't really agree with like the diversity quotas. I don't think we should go there. My goal is to hire the very best person for the job. So yes, diversity is important, but I want the best person for the job. What's your reaction to that? I'm curious, being in the tech space, what would you guys say about hiring the best person? And what would you say to that hiring manager who maybe hasn't thought about diversity in the way that we've experienced?
Andrea has.
I mean, yeah, I want the best person too, you know? Right. And there's an underlying feeling there that like, you don't anticipate that a person of color will be the best person, which is unfortunate, right? You're not even letting other people in the room to consider whether or not they're the best person. Like, I don't want to be a diversity hire because I'm going to sit there the whole time and feel tokenized. And you would feel that too. And I've had plenty of conversations over my career with somebody who feels tokenized. You know, and at the same time, if I get hired as a diversity hire, then I'm going to take it and I'm going to run with it and I'm going to be the best freaking diversity hire they've ever seen.
Yeah, I think one thing that, you know, comes to mind is that a lot of companies, their problem when it comes to diversity actually comes around people don't want to work at those companies, right? Like if the company does not have a lot of people that represents you, you know, then they're wondering like, oh, like, is a culture, like, is there a culture problem there?
Right.
And so, like, so that's one problem, right? It's like, okay, like, you should be looking internally to see what are the changes that you need to be making first before you start like shifting the blame onto others. Another thing is where you're like looking for candidates. Like, if a lot of tech, so coming back to what Techvia does, right? Like, why we exist, like what role we serve within the ecosystem, is that we're a network and tech hires based on like your network. So it's like who you know and like what companies you've worked at that determine whether tech companies will consider you for employment. Like, it's a lot easier when you're like your buddies with like, you know, the hiring manager,
right?
And part of that comes into like what school you went to, right? Like, do you have the right connections? Mm-hmm. And it's less about like your skill, right? And so if you are coming from a background that has systemic biases that block access to a lot of these spaces, like these more elite spaces, then you're sort of like, you're starting from behind, right? In terms of your connection. So we're a place where you can come in and like, we can at least get you like, have you like meet and get to know people like who work in the industry, and like you build those connections, like you sort of like learn like the cultural norms of the tech industry.
Yeah,
that's exactly why I asked that question, because I think there is an opportunity when groups like yours partner with these organizations to teach and to help bring awareness. So I think, you know, it is important for the average, you know, a person who's looking to get into tech, but also for organizations that, you know, want to make a change.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, Andrea hit a good point too. It's that you don't want to feel tokenized, right? You definitely don't want to feel like that person who is just, you know, just got a lucky seat. So at the same time, you know, there is pressure on yourself to be excellent, right? To make sure that you stand out from the crowd. And there's things that you can do that are already going to separate you from the pack, regardless of where you come from. Yes, unfortunately, people don't care about, you know, where you come from as long as you get the job done. So I think if you just continue to focus on that and really focus on separating yourself and be that excellent, diverse person so that you can pave the way for others. So that kind of gets to one of our last questions here is, you know, being able to, the name of our podcast is Latin Excellence, and, you know, just being able to excel in your day-to-day and highlighting those individuals. So curious to know, what do you guys envision as being Latin Excellence?
I view it as inventing the future, but rooted in tradition and culture. So to me, that's what it is, right?
It's so good.
Yeah.
So I just
write that down.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a big problem with tech culture, right? I think tech itself has like used to have really great values, you know, like a generation ago, but it's sort of like lost its way. And one thing I've learned over time is that tech culture can be very toxic. And a lot of times when somebody from the Latinx community advances up into tech, there's actually an issue where they're doing it because they assimilated into the system rather than being true to their roots and themselves.
Yeah.
And so my vision is, can we create spaces where we can advance up, but keep our culture, keep our values?
We are so excited to see what you all do in the future. What's next? What can we expect from Techería in the next year, in the next 5 years?
I think we'd love to do some in-person events within this year.
That is true,
That would be nice.
I think we're, right now, what we're doing as an organization is focused on, right now, just our immediate, you know, presence is adapting to the COVID situation, which has been pretty easy for us because we already had a lot of that infrastructure in place. Where we want to go in the next year is have more software like tooling that we use internally to help our membership.
Yeah, definitely.
No,
being proactive.
Yeah, and I will definitely say I'm going to continue going to all of these Tecadia events. I love them. If you haven't gone to any, definitely, or for our listeners who haven't gone to any, definitely check them out. So just to wrap up, we like to ask our guest what we call fast four questions, just four questions about a little bit so that we can learn a little bit more about who you are. So maybe let's start with Andrea first. So Andrea, name one person you admire or are currently following.
Oh, that's my grandfather.
Ah, okay, cool.
Nice.
And then what book are you currently reading?
Voices from the Ancestors.
What is your favorite Spanish dicho?
Se le vuelan las tapas. My grandpa just always said it about my grandma, about her.
Like, goes crazy? Oh, that's hilarious.
I was like, awesome. Wait, what? Yeah.
That's hilarious. Okay. And then one last question for you here. What would you want your younger self to know?
It's going to be fine.
I guess just being present. I think I used to spend too much time like hung up in the past or anxious about the future, and realize just being present is like really important.
Yeah, and it's huge right now, especially because while for those of us in the tech space, we don't really have a break. For the majority of the world, things have stopped right now. But for everyone in tech, it's business as usual, you know, for the most part. But yeah, it's always important to just make sure that we take time and be present and be attentive to what's in front of us. So thank you guys again for joining us. We definitely appreciate all of your time. Before we wrap up, where can our listeners find you?
I would say our Slack, and that's easiest to join from tecadia.org.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much again. We definitely appreciate your time.
If you've enjoyed listening to this episode, make sure to subscribe to our channel and leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at Latin Excellence Podcast. Thanks again for listening. And hey, if you know someone we should be highlighting, feel free to drop us a note or a comment and let us know how we can share their story.